DW Africa Link.
It's the countdown to October 12th, the day when Cameroonians will cast their votes in a presidential election that could redefine the nation's future. The date is set, and at 92 years old, Paul Biya is still in the race seeking an eighth term after 43 years in power. On one side, there are memories of low turnout, allegations of irregularities, and a political landscape that seemed stagnant. But on the other side, there is a palpable energy, a large youth population demanding change, better jobs, and a voice that carries beyond election day. Now, in this podcast, we'll explore what's at stake: the security situation from the far north to the Anglophone regions, the economic factors that could sway the mood, and the crucial question of whether this vote will be a turning point or a fresh start. October 12th is fast approaching. The question is, will Cameroonians choose continuity, or will they finally demand a plot twist?
From our point of view, I think that imposing a lockdown during this election period is not actually going to restrict us from voting out the regime of President Paul Biya, because even if without the lockdown, it is going to be a sure fact that we'll know who the winner is going to be at the end. And even if we don't cast our votes in these two English-speaking regions of the Northwest and Southwest, we know the winner.
To me, I think that it would have been better for them to allow and then the population take their voting card to the box to tell the present regime that we are fed up with you guys, you people should leave us. But unfortunately, our people are taking the wrong way. To me, categorically, whether they want it or not, is even an advantage. It is an added impetus to the present government because they are going to win 100% in this restricted area that have imposed the lockdown.
That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Cameroon is heading into a pivotal moment with its 2025 presidential election scheduled for October 12th, and the stakes are extraordinarily high. Separatists in Anglophone regions have called for a month-long lockdown to sabotage the polls in Anglophone Cameroon. This means that once again, Anglophones will not be able to freely participate in the presidential elections, as many are scared for their lives if they turn out to participate, as separatist fighters often snatch those who dare with abduction, torture, and even execution. So, will this election bring renewal or reinforce the status quo? What are voters in the capital thinking, and how are opposition voices navigating the political terrain? Well, to unpack this, we turn to our correspondents in Yaounde, Moki Edwin Kinzeka, who's been tracking the mood on the ground, and in Bamenda, Cameroon's Anglophone Northwest region, Wa Place, where the stakes of this election are profoundly personal and painfully complex. Jean-Marie Ngong-Song joins us to share what voting looks like in a conflict zone and what the people they expect or fear from this election. Let's remember, this is not just a political event, but a deeply personal one for many Cameroonians. So I'll start with each of you to just tell us the mood right now in the city that you are as the election date approaches. Let's start in Yaounde.
Thanks very much, Jose. In fact, people are going about their day-to-day activities as if nothing were to happen. You know, a lot of people are not showing interest at all. The elections management body, ELECAM, has been organizing so many meetings with stakeholders and political parties, with civil society, and even the clergy, to look at how to encourage people to participate, to be interested, to show some interest, and yet it is, the people are not sure anything is going to change yet. You don't see anything happening. You don't see discussions really focusing or centering around the election. People are complaining of intimidation from what they hear the ministers saying. For instance, the Minister of Territorial Administration, who says people who say things that are contrary to what the government thinks may be punished. And you remember also that when one of the candidates, Maurice Kamto, was eliminated from the race, some people were arrested and locked up. They are still detained as we speak. So people are scared of what is going to happen. They prefer going about their day-to-day activities with nothing happening among those people who are the ones on the streets of Yaoundé.
And just before we turn to Bamenda, also to find out what's happening there, Moki, what are the numbers looking like of registered voters?
According to ELECAM, which is the elections management body, there are about 8.2 million registered voters this year, which indicates an increase of about a million or 1.5 million from those in the 2016 presidential election. You know, but you may be asking why many people are registering, but some are not showing interest at the level of collecting their voters' cards. Because we heard in the Adamawa region, for instance, officials are saying that a lot of cards, in fact, 60% of the cards have not been collected. In Douala, it was the same cry as an indication they will vote. And when you ask the people, the opposition parties, what they are saying is that the main candidate, who is Maurice Kamto, who mobilized a lot of people to register, he participated in the mobilization, was eliminated.
Right. Now let's turn to Bamenda, Jean-Marie. How are people in the Anglophone regions reacting to the upcoming election, especially, you know, given the past tensions and calls for autonomy?
Yes, in Bamenda, at the moment, we are having a one-month-long civil disobedience called here as lockdown. We are already entering the second week. I must say, before even the start of the lockdown, there has been divided opinion. There are people who would have loved to vote, but given that separatists would not want any Yaoundé organized event in Bamenda, they have called for lockdown to frustrate even those who want to vote. And those who are not totally interested at all, because they feel that so far elections will not solve their problems. It's going to be the same narrative. It's going to be the same thing because the same person has been re-elected over and over for this year. At the moment, people are indoors. We have breaks only on Saturday and Sunday. And according to those who have called for the civil disobedience, we have liberty only after elections. So even those who are interested to vote, they have totally been disenfranchised.
Mm. Let's also talk about the numbers of registered voters there. What is it looking like, Jean-Marie?
From the last presidential elections, there has been an increase. Like Moki Riley said, there has been an increase in the number of registered voters in the Northwest. I'm sure the figures this year went up to over 8,000 registered voters, up from the previous years. There was this anticipation that President Paul Biya, the incumbent, might not be standing. So people were interested, they registered, thinking that if there is a new candidate that will be coming up from the usual traditional situation, people will be interested to vote. But since he declared his candidature, there's been a decline in the interest of participation.
Speaking of his declaring of President Biya's candidature, Jean-Marie, before I turn back to Moki, yes, I know you said that people have lost hope and interest, but what exactly are they saying, honestly?
People are saying that for close to 4 decades, he has been standing elections and always having a landslide victory. And if he's standing again, even at 91 or 92, there's nothing that will change. And given that the Northwest man has gone through a lot of pain and suffering since the start of this Anglophone crisis, and there's been no political will coming from Yaoundé to end the crisis directly, they don't see a change coming from the same regime that has allow the people to suffer for close to a decade.
Mm. And then, Moki, is that the same sentiment, I mean, in the capital, Yaounde? How visible is President Biya's campaign there? And are there rallies, posters, public events? What are people saying?
For now, there are no posters yet because the election campaign will be officially launched 15 days before the polls, as per the Cameroon Electoral Code. So we are expecting that by the 27th of September, that's when we start seeing posters on the streets. But there is what they call the pre-campaigning. Pre-campaigning in Cameroon means you could meet their supporters and discuss with them. But before meeting them, you need authorization. And you see, Mr. Biya's party has been so much present with that. In fact, the senior state functionaries are going to the villages to mobilize people. You see many women called on to participate in rallies. Some even claim they are paid to participate because they are not interested. They go there but for the financial benefits they have. The opposition also intends to do that. They also want to go to the field to take part in the discuss with their supporters. Unfortunately, the opposition parties are complaining that each time want to hold a meeting, there's a crackdown. I think Akere Muna, who is one of the candidates, complained also that he was barred from meeting his supporters. Cabral Libi also was barred from meeting his supporters. Another candidate, Bello Buba Maigari's supporters, actually defied public authority in the East region in Garoua Bulai. Local official came to block Bello Maigari from holding meetings. So you see some perceptible participation by supporters or the ministers who support President Paul Biya, and for the opposition is still very low key.
From what I hear Cameroonians saying, it's this is my sentiment from both your statements in terms of President Paul Biya's running. It's all about age. It's all about 4 decades. But what are the other main concerns, you know, voters are having or are expressing in terms of economy, security, governance, etc., Moki?
People are poor. People complain for over 43 years. You know, the economy has remained so bad. In Cameroon, there are so many bad roads. You cannot even leave your farm to the markets in most cases. You see, people are thinking about putting food at table that they don't have. You have university graduates who left a long time ago. They have their first degree, they have their master's degree. They don't have jobs. So they are talking about economic insecurity. They complain bitterly about it. Besides that, besides the economic insecurity, no Cameroon is in a crisis. There is a fear of the unknown. The Northwest and Southwest, as our colleague in Bamenda was saying, is very unsafe. Just last week, there was an explosive device that killed about 8 soldiers. And the separatists claimed responsibility, saying that it's part of their efforts to stop the elections from taking place. Also, many schools are closed in those regions. That is a problem. And then in the northern regions of the country, there has been increased Boko Haram incursions and attacks on schools. They hardly goes by without you hearing that children were kidnapped here, people were kidnapped there on the border with Nigeria and Chad. So the economic concerns are there. The security concerns are there. The fear of the unknown is there.
Right. Jean-Marie, if you'd want to also expand more on that situation, security situation in Bamenda, in terms of violence, military crackdowns, and are journalists also and activists able to operate freely in the region?
They can't. They are not operating, especially with this lockdown and throughout the presidential election period, because of this civil disobedience that have been now been christened lockdowns. When you cannot go to the field to do coverages, you cannot get to sources. You only stand from Bamenda. Maybe you make phone calls to distant areas to maybe confirm stories. At times, you might run into trouble trying to get the facts correctly. People are scared of even talking to journalists. So you have issues of sources drying up. You have difficulty of movement. So journalists and civil societies are forced to operate from Maintown Bamenda.
Let's talk about the other candidates. Jean-Marie, you still have the mic. You said people are unhappy that President Paul Biya is on the ballot paper again. Which candidate do you see people sort of supporting more in Bamenda?
In Bamenda, it's still the ruling CPDM party that is leading. It used to be the backyard of the main opposition party, SDF. And since the start of the Anglophone crisis, the separatists had actually downplayed the activities of any political party in the Northwest and the Southwest region. And this has given the ruling party, the CPDM, the edge. The last election, they swept almost all the councils, swept everything. They won everything. And so here it is just the ruling party that they are operating even with the crisis. Other political parties have been making an attempt to enter town, but they cannot move more than 4 kilometers out of Bamenda, main town Bamenda.
Right. Now, Moki, coming back to the capital, the heart of Cameroon, I'm sure, and just to also find out what people are saying about other candidates, yeah, like Cabral Libi, Joshua Osei, and others being received in the capital.
Well, people have an impression that the candidates are not listening to their cries, because according to the clergy, some religious authorities, and the civil society, if Cameroon had a consensual candidate at this election to face President Paul Biya, it would have been better. But these are 11 candidates going to face President Paul Biya, and all of them are claiming that they want to oust him. You know, it is in such a situation, it's so difficult for all of them to oust the president. That's what the civil society says. So the meetings to have a consensual candidate have all failed. Last week, some political parties assembled in Yaoundé and said Issa Chiruma is their candidate. And curiously enough, none of the candidates that is going to contest in the election was part of that group that says Chiruma is their unique candidate. We hear that there are still consultations on the field. Keremona just published that he met with Kamto a few days ago to see if Kamto could say something about it, because Kamto pulls a lot of crowd. If Kamto says his followers should go this way, it may change issues, it may change things out here. But the problem, Tunaimon Damjoya, Cabral Libi, and the rest, they say they are meeting to have a consensual candidate. Nothing is happening. When people are not seeing anything happen, so there is this feeling that Paul Biya, who is succeeding to organize meetings everywhere in the country, he has the financial capacities, he has the human capital, the resources, may still win the election, and the complaints they're complaining now continue.
And history repeats itself, yeah. And what is the public sentiment really around Maurice Kamto's exclusion from the race?
Maurice Kamto's exclusion was really a difficult pill to swallow for many Cameroonians who counted on him. Kamto had been mobilizing people. He had stood out as somebody who could, you know, bring the necessary change. He went even and got support out of the country. Cameroonians in the diaspora came, supported him. He launched an appeal for financial assistance to be able to run, because running an election, that they need money, and a lot of people came up to contribute. When he was excluded from the race, in fact, people felt so bad. But now people are still counting on him. They are saying that he should speak. He should say something. He should tell Cameroonians where to go now. People think that Kamto has allowed them in the middle of the ocean. He has not said the candidate they can vote for. And some other people are thinking that the government in Cameroon may have even gone as far as meeting Kamto, discussing with him, corrupting him to be able to stay quiet, because they don't understand why somebody who was so vibrant, reacting to every situation, is now so quiet.
And do you want to add, Jean-Marie, in terms of Maurice Kamto, what people are saying there in Bamenda?
It's the same feeling. Most say that his candidature, I mean his earlier position to run, motivated a lot of people in Bamenda as well. And since he was disqualified, the feeling has been the same. People have been looking up that he should make a declaration, whether directing where the few voters that would have loved to vote for him should vote.
And what do people in Bamenda hope really will change after the election?
Everybody in Bamenda will want the long-standing Anglophone crisis that is already in its 9th year to end, despite any regime change. That will be the first priority of anybody here in Bamenda, to see the end of Anglophone crisis. somebody in Bamenda will also be expecting to see an end to this recent contractionary money policies that the Yaoundé regime has been injecting. They have been introducing a lot of financial taxes that have actually made matters worse. People in Bamenda would want to see the creation of jobs. And worst of all, somebody in Bamenda want to see the rehabilitation of roads, interurban networks here. People cannot go to their farms easily. People cannot even move around town. Each time the sun comes up, there's dust everywhere, and town does not look like the one of the third largest towns in Cameroon at the moment.
And Moki, I don't know if you want to add something there on people in the capital, and also just to find out even how you journalists, civil society, are being treated, or are there any restrictions during this campaign period?
Let me start with what people want as a change. You know, there are many Anglophones who were displaced by the conflicts in the Northwest and Southwest who cannot go back home. They have not been to their villages for the past 9 years. They feel that the president who's coming up should be able to make them go to their villages, make them go back to schools. Look at how they suffer here. Some children were in schools in the Northwest and Southwest. They've come to Yaoundé, Douala, Bafoussam, and the rest, and they cannot go to school. They want to go back. Now, talking about the journalists that we are, what the government has been trying to preach to people, that they should be patriotic. And to them, patriotic is synonymous to obeying government action, even when it is wrong. That is where the problem is. The reporters think that it is very difficult for them to do their work as they are supposed to do it. So they only rely on statements that are made and getting reactions from a few courageous civil society members. You know, to go out as a reporter, analyze the situation is very critical. You don't know where you may end up. So it is not very easy this time around, as it has always been when elections are coming in Cameroon, especially presidential election. The taxes, they are very heavy on civilians, should be reduced. That's what the civilians are saying. Roads should be constructed to enable business to thrive. And, what they perceive as crackdown. Ever since Maurice Kamto was removed from the race, there are policemen and gendarmes on almost every street corner. They are still there till today. It makes movement not easy for civilians in the capital, Yaoundé, and in Douala.
Right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. We just hope as we watch from all over the world, the upcoming election in Cameroon, there will be peace. We just hope for the best for the people of Cameroon. And again, let peace prevail. Thank you so much for joining us here on DW Africa Link Podcast. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We highly value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. We look forward to hearing from you, so don't hesitate to reach out, share your thoughts, and be part of the conversation. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.